It's not just method. It's as we are communicating divine spirit. So you hear it. I was talking about words being very, very powerful. So all your life, they've told you, as you're walking, you and your friends, you say, somebody said, you don't begin old. You understand my point? I've had people tell me things like that. What's the problem? I said, now age don't they catch up on you. You see, these are things you hear every day. They are subtle. You hear it every day. So it becomes natural. You know, say, I don't the old. I don't they forget. Like I told people that, yes, I don't remember things now as much as I used to remember them maybe 30 years ago. It's not because I'm growing old. It's because there are many more things to remember. That's all. I'm going old. My brain is getting bigger. It's expanding capacity. I can remember more things. It's just that now I have much more. So oftentimes I have to, you know, prioritize. And things that my soul doesn't quickly think is crucial is dropped down on the memory level. Are you getting my point? Those days, maybe as a child, you watch one small cartoon like this, you can recite it from the beginning to the end. But now, you watch it 10 times, your brain tells you, Pastor, it's not important. Your brain will echo out to you. Say, man of God, it's not important. That's why you start telling stories like, Maybe we watch Tom and Jerry. Thank God that Tom is killing Jerry or Jerry is killing Tom. Just, you don't know, understand. No, it's not your brain. It's just that now, Isaiah is more important. Do you get my point? Yes, children's school fees, you have to calculate, is more important. You have to go to work, is more important. You have to change your tire, is more important. There are many more things. You have appointments. Thank God for smartphones. So those things are more important. That's why you forget. Don't let anybody lie to you because you are getting old. Because old age is not a disease. You hear what I said?
Yes,
you will be old and you will be full of sap. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
You will be fresh. Your youth will be renewed like an eagle's.
Amen.
Very powerful information. Just hearing it and accepting it has changed your attitude towards old age, and you will have a different experience as you grow older. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, let's get back to the matter of divine health. We are focusing on what God says. Are you getting my point? We are focusing on it. That we are saying that sickness is not the will of God. People used to say, well, by the time I was growing up as a Christian, nobody said it. Nobody said it. I mean, what I heard was that people were correcting what was said. That, you know, God is using this to keep you humble. I said, in that case, you are proud. Why don't you repent of pride and the thing will leave you alone? Are you getting my point? Yes. No, I'm not arguing the fact that maybe that's a problem. But this, now you have agreed that pride is the problem, not the will of God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You have accepted that pride is a problem. If you say, God kept me in this infirmity so that I will be humble, fine. You have just agreed that pride is what? The problem. That's a matter of fact. So it's not the will of God. Otherwise, you'll be saying that God knows that I need a bit of pride hiding in my soul. No. Listen. The will of God is said, we have heard. He said, you have heard of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. There's something I just want to quickly say. I don't know why, just came to my mind, I should quickly say it. You know, when my sister-in-law passed on, another of my sisters-in-law was very angry. Of course, you're hot. So she told my wife on the phone that that's the problem with this country. She lives abroad. That's because the medicine is not good. I said, ask her whether people know they die for UK. That's good. I said, ask her. But I understood that when you're hot, you know, all kinds of things, you know, just be angry. And that's the reason I'm saying that. Let me just continue explaining. Of course, shortly after, one of my friends told me about somebody in their church in UK who just said that I'm not feeling very well, and let's make a long story short, before the end of the week, she was dead. She went to hospital. She went to hospital. I'm going somewhere. Now, a lot of times, people criticize Christians. And say, they say they are believing God. And that's what the problem is. Let me say this to you. I don't know how you'll interpret it. That's a lie. My friend who died, the one I told you about, yes, we believe in God, but he took every medical, remedy available, and that killed him faster. No. I don't mean that as a joke. I'm telling you literally what happened. And so I imagined. Let us assume we had refused. Because we could refuse. And when I say we, I was in a position to join maybe him or his wife and say, we are not taking. And that's the end of it. He won't take it if all of us said no. People will have said, oh, this is the problem with these people. This is the problem with these people. But I can testify to you that he will have lived longer. I'm not saying we shouldn't have done it. Are you getting my point? That's not what I'm saying. I don't know why I just feel like correcting some things in the minds of people. If God doesn't cure somebody, no doctor can. That's why, generally, as a profession, doctors are careful enough to emphasize, we care, God cures. And I have discovered a lot of times, it is God will have cured, but we killed you first. A lot of times it happens. What am I going to explain? The gospel of divine healing is a very good gospel, very accurate. It is far better than any kind of story people want to tell. It is far better. In fact, I have a persuasion that until God wants to release healing in a particular regard on the earth, even the doctors and scientists cannot decode the information to bring it to pass. You hear what I said? Anytime you see scientific discovery, medical discovery, that makes life easier, what God is just saying is that not all men have faith. Do you understand my point? At this point, it is determined that I show mercy in this particular regard. Therefore, we tell the angels, release the information so that they can take care of every man, whether they have faith or they don't. That's a matter of fact. I don't want to sit on that, but that is a matter of fact. The truth is that the only reason people get cured, either by natural means or by medical intervention, the only reason is because God desires that men be well. Do you get my point? Yes. That is the only reason. That is the only reason. That is the only reason. But let me just say something about medical care for a moment. God warned us about something. He said, why? He said, cursed is the man who puts his trust in what? In men, in the arm of flesh. He said he will not see when good comes. Am I saying people shouldn't see doctors? No, I'm a doctor. I mean, that's what I do. And I don't, there's nothing wrong with that fundamentally, all right? But what I just want you to understand is that first of all, your trust must be in God. If because of the level of your faith, God uses a doctor to take care of you, fine. But listen, any man that God has not sent a dose of healing towards, doctors will only succeed in killing him. That's not a joke. That is not a joke. And let nobody fool you that it is Nigeria. It's all over the world. You go on the story of Benkasi. God helped him in a particular way. But what I want to bring out is that the diagnosis that he had a very aggressive form of prostate cancer. And it was detected very early. And like he will tell you that how the healing came, he doesn't know. And he had a surgery. He took some herbs. He prayed. They all of them put together, I'm well today. Praise God. Are you getting my point? Well, what I want to bring out is that because of the kind of tumor he had, normally the way when doctors want to treat, one of the things we do, we'll call it staging. We want to see whether it has spread or it hasn't spread. Do you know, when they did a scan of his spine, when they x-rayed his spine, which is where prostate cancer likes to rush to, all right? And that's why it causes a very severe back pain when it has spread. Because, now, after they scanned it there, they told him the thing has spread to his spine. You hear what I said? In fact, when the nurse working with him, or the physician assistant, they called them, first saw the films, her heart sank that, our guy is dead. Look, spiritual things are interesting. All right? But what happened was that because he's a big guy, because he's in a big hospital, I mean, you're talking about Johns Hopkins here, all right? They now sent the film to another highly specialized guy to look at. And he looked at it and said, no, it has not spread. Are you getting my point? That these are just congenital malformations in his spine. It's very rare. Most people miss it. If they didn't send to that kind of fellow, he probably would have missed it. And instead of treating with the treatment they gave him, they would have said it has spread. They would have not offered the treatment because it was in a very early stage where the doctors could remove it totally. They would not have bothered. It would have now spread and killed him. And that would have been in America, not in Nigeria. And let me tell you bad news. It happens every day. In Nigeria, in America, in Enugu, everywhere. You understand my point? It happens. That is why you must put your faith first where? In God. In God. You must put your faith first in God. You must. And the interesting thing about God, the way he works different ways. He's very kind. He often comes down. I use the word down to meet people at their level. What I mean is that, again, I quote him a lot, so I tell the story of Kenneth Hagin's wife. He's a great man of faith. He was a great man of faith. If you know the kind of disorders he believed God to get cured of, leukemia and severe malformations in his chest, including his heart, everything that plagued him, he will fight it off with faith. His mother-in-law was sick. One day he was praying. The Lord suddenly anointed him. He touched the goiter and it went down like a balloon. His own wife, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, thyroid of his thyroid. You are getting my point? She got the same goiter and bros prayed, fasted, did everything. The only manifestation he gets is occasionally you have the feeling she's going to die. At the end of the day, let me put many stories together. The woman was telling him, take care of the children. Finally, one day, he had a vision again. And the Lord said to him, tell your wife to be operated on, she won't die. The story about it is simple. One day he had asked his wife, what can you believe? And the woman said, I can believe that I will have surgery and not die. Even then, she didn't have that faith yet. They had to keep praying until the Lord gave him that vision. And then she went for surgery and she lived and did not die. But why have I told the story? She refused surgery for a long time herself because she understood that if she went for that surgery, she would die. She knew she wouldn't come back alive. And the man asked the Lord in the vision. The Lord said, yes, certainly, most certainly true. That woman would have died. Then he prayed for her. That was before then. And the Lord granted him what he asked for, that she wouldn't die. These things are spiritual. Do you get my point? So, Aretha Hagin had surgery, but it was because God granted her healing first. You are getting my point? Doctors are a level of faith by which God meets people. They are never the hope for anybody. You hear what I said? The Bible says, if any man afflicted, let him pray. Is any man afflicted? I wanted to say. He said what? Let him pray. Let him pray. Let whatever it is that the doctor does for him be an answer to what? To prayer. Is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. But what am I talking today? What is he going to pray about? He's going to say simply, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. We are discussing the will. What is the will? Himself took our infirmities and our diseases, and by his stripes we have been healed. That is the will of God. Like I said at the beginning, I'm not supposed to even explain it. I'm supposed to just tell you. God does not enjoy that you are sick. Every headache is a disturbance to heavenly order. Did you hear what I said? Every kata is a disturbance to heavenly order. Every cough is disturbance to heavenly order. Every malaria is disturbance to heavenly order. It is never the perfect will of God. Somebody came once, disciples of Jesus. He said, who sinned that this one should be born blind? Was he the one? Or his parents? And I wonder how an embryo could have sinned. You didn't get what I said? And like one man said, maybe one day when he was in the stomach, you know, babies can kick. And as some women think that if you have two children, maybe they are wrestling. The amount of kicks they experience. He said, maybe one day the boy kicked the mother. Man, the mother said, God punish you. So, maybe that is the sin. Maybe that's the sin he committed. Because when you ask me who sinned, that this one should be born blind. I said, is it him? When did he do it? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Anybody, there were gist about the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, neither. Neither. Now, let's read it the way most people just read it. And I'll give you the way Reinhold Bonnke reads it, which is so instructive. The book of John chapter 9. Now, I'll just read it straight, the way it sounds in the New American Standard. Then I will explain something. Then I will qualify it. And then we'll go on to our exegesis for the day. Verse 3, Jesus answered, the story is in verse 2. Disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents. But it was in order that the works of him, the works of God might be displayed in him. He said, we must walk the walk of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can walk. And then he now said in verse 6, the Bible says that he said he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied to the clay to the man's eyes and said to him in verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam. All right? And then the man went away and washed and came back seeing. If you read that verse 3 very properly, he said that, but, now, here, the word it was is what they call ellipsis in Greek, all right? That's in biblical translations. You see it's in italics, which means that it was just put in there to try and make sense out of what is there. Literally what it says, is that neither this man sinned nor his parents, but in order that the works of God might be displayed in him, we must walk the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can walk. That's the way somebody like Reinhold Bonnke will read it out to you, which I believe. It makes a lot of sense if you look at the whole scripture in context. God is not crazy. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Doesn't just wreck things so that he can rearrange it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Things are wrecked by many methods. But this is what I understand from here. Jesus was experiencing two things. One, as a matter of fact, the boy did not sin. The man did not sin. Of course, he would have been a child. He didn't sin, so he would be born blind. He couldn't have. And number two, it was not because of the sin of his parents. Please, I don't have time to go into the details of it. But there's something that Jesus said somewhere else. He made it clear that there's sin in the environment. And without that, this man would not have been born blind. I'm putting many things together, all right? It's just that you can't point directly at his parents. Are you getting my point? Maybe you could point to his great-grandfather. I don't know. So what he did was to just take everybody away from what caused it. Let us look at the solution. That's what he was saying. Why are we sitting discussing how did it come about? Which is what a lot of deliverance people like. I've heard this gist before. I think I referred to it before. I was with some people. They told me about one great man. He preached a particular sermon. Very, very deep. I said, what was deep inside? He said, if you are having marriage problems, go and check whether your great-great-great-grandfather was a slave trader. Who sinned that this man should be boxing his wife? Is that not what we are talking about here? Was it the wife or the husband or their parents? And Jesus said, forget that issue. Let us solve the problem of my Tyson spirit invading the home. You are getting what I'm saying? He said the man said that the reason is because, you know, a slave trader breaks homes. Amen? Yes? If you steal me away now, I'm going to sell me as a slave. You've made my wife a widow. You know that. So, for that reason, a curse has been placed upon all their descendants that they will never have homes that are together. At this year. So, there's a curse upon them. Therefore, you know, this is why preachers will gather and be invoking, they will go to your village and be saying, which sin did your great-grandfather commit? Jesus said, it is irrelevant. Let me add this, it's only for those who don't understand what is going on and don't have the power of God to solve the problem. All this descending of genealogy, you know, there's descending of spirits and the descending of genealogy. You hear me, young men say it. If a girl comes out of a broken home, I can never marry her because statistically we have found out that if people from broken homes often produce broken homes. Is it true? Yes, in the world, in the church, around nonsense. Around what? Balderdash! Around nonsense. Jesus said, who sinned that this home should break? Neither. I don't care. But we must walk the walk of him that sent us while it is day. We must mend the marriage and make sure that I don't care whether the father shot the mother and the ghost of the mother came and revenged against the father. I don't care. This girl will be happily married. She will live to be 90. Her husband will be 93. And they will be taking strolls on the road and their great-grandchildren will be phoning them. That is the power of Christ. I've discussed this thing before. When we talk about the word Christ, the word Christ simply means the way it works, let us assume statistically it's been proven. They've done the chi-square. Those statistics. Checked all the p-factor. And they say, we know if your father is divorced, your mother is divorced, you go divorce. And in fact, you will so divorce, you will cut your children in two, one by one, so that your father, your mother, your wife will take the right ear, you take the left ear of the boys. Statistically, it's been proven. Listen, let me tell you something. I used to make the mistake, don't make it anymore. Don't argue with anybody. If the person is a believer, tell him, shut up. I was reading Billy Graham. Billy Graham said one day, he was preaching, he copied a message, he was preaching it, talking about waiting. That God promised Christ for the first 1,000 years, no Christ. 2,000 years passed, no Christ. 3,000 years passed, no Christ. 4,000 years passed, no Christ. 5,000 years passed, no Christ. 6,000 years, no Christ. 7,000 years, no Christ. By the time he got 7,000, his friends behind just said, shut up. Somebody just whispered to him, shut up, my friend, and sit down. He was preaching. He said, what 7,000 years? From Christ from Adam till today, is 6,000 years. How come you are telling us 7,000 years? No Christ. You get the gist? What am I saying? That's just by the way. So if your friend is a believer, a Christian, is talking that kind of thing, tell him, shut up. If it's your senior, say, sir, I will be pleased if you would discontinue that discussion. That's a very nice to tell an elder, shut up. Very nice way to tell an elder to keep quiet. It will be to the benefit of mankind, sir, if you discontinue from expressing that opinion. One day, a senior colleague, a professor, he and I were talking. He was saying something. I said, excuse me, sir. You understand that we have to disagree with you. He said, let me finish. I said, I just want you to know ahead. Finish. I put up my hand. I was in his office. He was talking things I could not stomach. I said, sir, please, you understand I have to disagree with you. Just tell the person nicely. But if it's your mate or your junior, tell him, zip your mouth. There are things, all right, that operate outside Christ. That's what I'm explaining. Don't bring it into Christ. It's an insult on the body of Christ. So people, go ahead. You see there, 225 questions to ask before you say I do. I see a job interview. I want to marry you. Now you've been interviewing me. Because I won't marry you. Say I won't marry you now. It turn to job interview. It will give me GMAT. May I solve? Where's your father? He's in Bangladesh. Where's your mother? He's in Lagos. They quarrel. Where's your brother? He's late. What happened to him? Tell her straight. I know they marry again. Or tell him, I'm not interested. No, be you, they chase me. Okay, I'm not answering you. I failed the test. Thank you. I'm going. You understand my point? It's because we don't understand this. Who sinned that this one should be born blind? And Jesus said, it's irrelevant. Like I told you before, that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. What it means is this. In today, he makes it irrelevant who sinned that he was born blind. Because once he starts seeing, are you getting my point? It's no longer relevant why he was blind. So he said, let's not waste the energy. Because everything, I told you, the Lord does not gist. He said, Piro, Hafa, sit down. Tell me about your mother-in-law. Why did she have that fever? The Lord doesn't have that kind of time. You get my point? So, discussing why he was born blind, I told you it was irrelevant to the life of Peter, James, John, and you and I. Therefore, he did not discuss it. He said, what is relevant is the will of God. That will be done in this man's life as it is recorded in heaven. That he should see and see clearly. That's always the will of God. Are you getting my point? Like I say, if Christians say that, you know, maybe God, and I said, I preached something like that before. If simply God allowed that, because I said, fine, I'm not disagreeing with it. Sometimes troubles in life are a barometer that God leaves there to check how closely we are working with him. What it means is that every sickness, therefore, is an indication that something is out of order. It doesn't make it the will of God. Never. The Bible says clearly, the elder John was talking, who understood the will of God, who taught it in 1 John chapter 5, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The same person wouldn't have prayed if he didn't know what the will of God was, and he prayed. I pray, like in James there, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's the will of God. That you be in health is the will of God. That every disease is healed is the will of God. It says clearly, by his stripes we have been healed. You know of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went everywhere doing what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Do you get my point? Listen, there are lies we tell ourselves. And listen now, lies, spiritually speaking, it doesn't mean there's no physical evidence to support it too. You can have a physical evidence to support something, and it's still a lie. What is a lie? Everything that disagrees with the will of God. When the Bible calls the devil a liar, in his lie he was causing trouble, you know that. Are you getting my point? So be careful. I like what the one man preached to me once. I was in church, actually, he was preaching, and I learned it. Never forgot it. Now, it's something you must practice. Say, I will practice this. Now, listen to this. When the Lord called Adam, where are you? What did Adam say? I hid myself. I heard your voice. I hid myself because what? What was the next thing the Lord said?